one. John, I have a question. John, I have a question.
Yeah.
I can answer your question.
All right. Let me first open the call. And I want to welcome all those who are joining in here with us through BBS Radio. And we are right now at this point worldwide live on the Internet. Wynn is here, and Wynn has a question for Don. Don, do you copy?
Don is in the room and copies. Yes, Don is in the room and Don copies.
And here's another Don. Hi, Don.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going, everybody?
How are you doing, Don? Good.
I am excellent, they tell me.
Don H. Yes, correct. I win. Hi, Don.
Well, hi, my friend. I'm happy to be on your show.
You're
in it.
Los Angeles. I'm still in Los Angeles.
You guys hear me okay, right?
Well, I might do it some tonight. You know, I'm working on being the oldest rock star ever.
Now, you're talking to me still, right? You want to be an old rock star, my friend?
No, I think Mick Jagger gets everyone on that issue.
Okay. Well, the oldest new rock star.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
There's a whole generation out there. The Rolling Stones and all, everybody's out there, I guess.
Well, my smile would be classified torch, and you got a good chance.
Now, you know, Dwayne, you have this effect on me. When you talk, I forget everything I was going to say.
Now, you guys hear
Sorry,
me okay,
I'll
right?
Myself. I'll go to pound one and sing.
All right. Well, if you don't need me anymore,
so,
I'm just going to back out.
We are past the clock of six, and here in California, and we did have more people join in. I did turn off the entry and exit sounds. I just want to welcome those who joined in. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Carla, don't
hi, Carla. Welcome to the call.
Hello.
Terry in Nevada.
Hello. Welcome to the call, Terry.
Thank you.
Hi, Terry. Is this Terry who stayed in your living room?
Yes. How are you doing?
Don't tell anybody, okay?
I won't tell anybody.
We'll be able to be jealous.
Oh, really?
So, when do we have many questions tonight? Because then we probably want to start.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions. And let's see, it's 6:01. And hang on a second. Let me see if we got any new questions before I start the recording.
All right, then I still give you those who just joined in. If you want to announce yourself, feel free to say your name and location.
Hi, Cleo in Connecticut.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Is that Claire?
Cleo.
Cleo. Hey, thank you for being here. Cleo, are you new on the call?
Well, I've called in two other times.
Two other times?
Yes.
It's nice to have you.
Thank you.
You're becoming one of the lucky bunch, unlucky bunch, it depends, who comes in early. And here's how corny we are before the call starts. And of course, sometimes we're funny after the call starts. But let's see here now. We are almost ready to start.
Is Terry here? Our beloved Terry Brown.
Hi, I'm here.
Hello, Terry. Here. Good evening to you.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Hello.
You know, Terry had a calamity yesterday.
Uh-oh. Whoa, the dog walked on my computer keyboard.
The local dog walked on her computer keyboard and knocked all the keys off.
It was a big paw print with no keys.
Where are the Elohim when you need them?
Yeah, but that's not what they generally take care of.
Oh, okay. They're too busy for that. All right. Let me start the recording. We have a lot of questions.
This conference is being recorded.
It is March 5th, 2014.
And this is Wynn Free and Jerry Brown in North Hollywood, California. And I'd like to congratulate all of you who paid your rent a few days ago. And I'd like to say, if you didn't, keep a stiff upper lip. Although, Dave, do you think a stiff upper lip is the sign of a reptilian? Somebody said that, you know. But I don't remember the context of it. But, you know, the British phrase have a stiff upper lip, right?
Yeah, I know, but it's taken on a certain meaning.
Yeah.
Reptilians don't have lips.
Don, be careful. There we go. Don, we knocked you out. You know what? We got to be fair. If we do it to Dwayne, we have to do it to you. So, let's see. We have our recording on. We said hello to everybody. Terry is not ready, and neither am I. That means we can start. Right, Terry?
I was just looking at, I was trying to find the charge cord for my phone. Like, I can either keep my earphones on, my headset, or the phone. I think the phone will run out in a half hour.
Well, where's your charge cord?
It's somewhere upstairs, but I don't know where. I've got one charge cord, so I can charge one thing at a time.
Now, you know, we have hundreds. We have hundreds of listeners, and we have discussing your lost charge cord. But at least you're not, at least you're unmuted, right?
Well, just go with it and do the best, okay?
I mean, let me see. If you want to, hang on a second here. Is this a charge cord? No. There should be a charge cord somewhere up here. Is your computer down there? No, right?
No, but I could plug it into Vaughn.
Let's see. Okay, now, you know, right now, you've got to entertain people while I'm looking for a charge cord, okay?
I believe our sources can charge your phone, Terry.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to take anything for granted. Do you know that one of the things, a subtlety of all of this work we're doing, now, Terry, I have, like, the plug-in headset, okay?
For a computer?
No, for your phone.
Oh, plug-in headset.
So you have one charge cord down there?
Yeah.
So come up and get the plug-in headset, or I'll send it down. Then you don't have to use the Bluetooth. How's that sound?
I'll be right up.
Okay. You know, some people wonder why we send out notices for the call 15 minutes before the call. And, you know, there's a kind of an interesting story on that, which I'll bet you that you probably never thought of. Do you know why I do that, Harris?
Yes, I do.
Did I tell you?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the thing. When we started doing these calls, it was somewhat fragile, holding the energy for it. And I was aware that there were, you see, our call is visible because the energy goes so high on it, it's visible in other dimensions. And those of you who have studied the law of one Carla Ruckert material know how she was terribly attacked by other dimensional entities that didn't want her material out in the world. And those of you who have tracked our work know that DK was terribly attacked when this work first started. And that this is the kind of material that can change the nature of this planet. Now, I don't know if it will. That's up to us, but it has that potential. And it certainly has changed a number of you. You've changed yourself, actually. It's not that this has changed you. You've changed yourself by changing your paradigms. Now, you know, a lot of new people are asking, well, how do you get this change? How do you get this change? And I really think the best answers keep showing up on our calls and listen to the archives, because you can't will this kind of stuff to happen. And you can't use technique for it to happen. Although there's a lot of keys in the calls, lots of keys that you can apply, but it's always like an indirect thing. It's not like direct. Well, because of the potential power on these calls, what happens? Now, this is not based on anything they told me. It's not based on anything that demonstrated itself this way. It was just based on some gut-level instinct on my part that once you announce something, you are now creating an energy in the ethers that's going to exist in the ethers from the moment you announce it to the moment that that thing manifests. And I had the feeling that putting that into the ethers gave opportunity for negative sources in the ethers to potentially try to screw it up in some way. So I got into the habit of waiting for the last minute so there was no energy hanging in the ethers. Now, at this point now, it's different. It's different because in earlier times, we didn't hit the ground running as we do now. The reason we're hitting the ground running is so many of you are holding energy for the call. And so as soon as we get on the call, and even if you notice the pattern, some of you are noticing prior to the call, even a few hours, or it's probably different for everybody, there's an energy that starts coming in, and your high self is saying, wow, and you're already creating it. We're already coming together. Now, that creates a lot of safety for the call. It's not like, say, 4 or 5 years ago, and maybe even 3 years ago, where we started the call and that the energy had to be built on the call from scratch, because there was no energy, or very little, except from highs. Highs is always great. But it's like now all of you holding the energy is creating a safety net for the work, and it allows it to move into more people and reach more people. And the real essence of this work is the energy. It's not the information. And sometimes if a bunch of new people come on, and some of you probably have sat through this and noticed it, when new people come on, I may repeat the same things that you've heard 5 times. And you think, oh, this is boring. Well, I think that if you think that what's on this call has to do with the information or breakthrough information, and yes, there's lots of breakthrough information that has come through these calls, but it's not the breakthrough information that makes the calls so relevant it's the energy that we are all learning to hold on call, and that being a conduit, being an interface for this loving energy in the higher dimensions, that bit by bit you start to integrate it and you become more loving. And it's totally nonlinear. It's not a technique, but it just takes consistency on your part. And there's more than one way to get it. But the one thing that I can say that works is when people come in to the calls, it helps. And for some of you that are listening on the internet, you might try coming into the calls early on the phone line. And then you go, if you're one of those people that gets charged for the calls, because some people do, be aware. Most people don't, but occasionally one of the carriers charges long distance charges for the conference call numbers. Well, just come in the beginning and then go back to the internet, because there are people get to know each other. We recognize each other's voices. We feel like a connection. And so you don't need this. You can get it just on the internet. You can get it just on the replays. But I think many of us need the human interchange. And so if you feel you need that or you'd like to experiment with it, come in on the conference line and see what happens. See if your energy feels more connected. So on that note, this is always an experiment, because it changes, because it's in the moment. And being in the moment, it's always going to be different. It's always going to be in creational. And we are creational together on this call. And that's why, you know, I so avoid rituals. And I think the only ritual we have is calling in of the light. But other than that, we make it up as we go. And I'm making it up as I go. But you know what? When I say I'm making it up, I am we, because I feel your energies. So some of you notice, but certainly with Terry and our sources, you know, they feel your energies as well. And so we'll be addressing, and not even consciously trying to, the group energy, rather than just, you know, my agenda of what I want to present. So it's very exciting to have you all participating. And of course, our sources are constantly saying how amazing it is that something like this is happening in this realm. And on that note, Jerry, you're not muted, are you?
I just unmuted. But
okay.
I hear a hum. You hear it?
I hear a little hum. Oh, by the way, Ron, I saw Ron Lehrer on the line. Ron, I'm not forgetting you. Please keep bugging me, because I got to figure out why you're not getting emails. That was a loud hum there. Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out.
You know, right now I'm in L.A. We're on the road with Urban Gypsies, and I'm also doing some recording of my songs. And I'm having a hard time keeping everything together. And if I haven't answered your emails, if you sent me an email, please forgive me. I do try to answer emails. At some point, I'm not going to be able to. And but I know for many of you, it's important. And you have really good questions, and you're stuck. And so we're doing our best. But right now, it's like we're spaced out. We're not as focused as we are in Sedona. Plus, I'm doing things like recording. recording songs, and I'm kind of integrating in my mind that it's okay to share my music with everybody. Because for the longest time, I didn't want to do it. I avoided it because I was grounding the Elohim Ra connection. And my music is really good, and I didn't want to compete with that aspect of what we're doing. But now I feel like we've grounded it. It's grounded. It's like so many of you are feeling it. I don't have to try to prove myself on every call. And it's like my songs can actually augment this work because they're much easier to handle for some people to at least get them interested because people, music bypasses everything. So we're going to start, and Father, Mother, God, we ask for the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We create you in the love light of the one infinite creator. Are you able to hear us?
Yes, we are.
Give us a moment. There's a plane going over. This is not on. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is March 5th, 2014. And we are moving not unilaterally, but non-linearly into the space and are available for each person who wishes to connect with us and for us to connect with them if they wish it. We are honored to be able to come in this manner and connect. We do not come through the telephone lines. We don't come through the radio. We come directly to you. And we are very high vibration. So it is hard to sense that we are there unless you move to the frequency, unless you look at the frequency where we are. We are here to assist in whatever way we can. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First of all, a question from Dave in Mesa. He's moving into a new home and he's still nervous about the move. Things are coming together in ways I never expected. I still feel nervous. And David, I guess I should just read this. I guess what I'm asking is, are things coming together because it is my time to finally have things go good for me when so much has gone wrong in the past? Thank you again.
Thank you. It is normal to feel nervous when one makes a move from one location to another, when one finds a new home, a new location, a new relationship with the geography around them, the forces become slightly different. And one then needs to reorient at a subconscious level. Once you are situated, you will begin to put down tracks and roots in the new location. And you will see that there are similarities to where you lived before, but there are new people around. There are new facts to relate, and some of them are very nurturing. You can connect in the new location to the surroundings and pick which things are comforting to you. The ground, the landscape, the nurturing of the frequencies of the ground, the grass, and bushes. We see that as you move, there may be nervousness, but as you are in the new place, that take a moment and get familiar with the rooms, with the sidewalks, with the area where you are. And as you get familiar, you will become more grounded and anchored. There are people there, some which will be nurturing or some which will not be so nurturing. And to simply keep your perimeter from those people that you sense are not nurturing. Do not worry about it, but use it as an advancement in your grounding. Thank you.
Thank you. Question from Susan in Michigan. My beloved cat, Black E, transitioned from his earthly body 1 week ago. Where is he now, and is he okay?
Thank you. Black E is a prowler. He is interested in the energies. He is following the energies that he sees as if it is something that he has been chasing, as if it is something that can be followed and maybe caught. And he is very curious, and he is very upbeat about it. He's not sitting around wondering what to do next. He is following the energies that he sees. And he is quite intent on this and is, in a sense, having a good time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Don Herman asked the question. Don, I'm going to answer this. I'm really not going to answer it. I'm just going to make a comment. You asked if the Elohim Oraklu had anything to do with the writing of a certain book, which has influenced people. And I don't like to ask those questions. because, well, a lot of times people ask me as if I am the, they are the dispensers of truth. Like, is this thing positive? Is this thing negative? What really happened in this religion? And, you know, any comments like that only have a negative impact, usually, I won't say only, can have a negative impact on me. Because maybe I'm making comments on things that other people found really valuable for themselves, and I'm saying something negative about it. Or maybe the organizations will get mad at me because we say something about it. So, you know, on that particular book you mentioned, if you look it up, it was a collaboration by a woman and her husband. And there was, look up who wrote it in their backgrounds, because there was some indication that it was, you know, came from a negative source, actually, even though many people use it. But I'm not going to say what the book is. And that's all I want to say. Look up the backgrounds of the people, and you'll find some interesting stuff. Okay? Now, next question is from Joshua in Austin, Texas. In one of our books, I believe it was our book, Joshua quotes this and asks for some expansion. There are others of the identical congruency of consciousness that will welcome those to the fourth density.
Where?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, his question is, can we expand on this if it is the highest good of all concerned? The idea that there are others of identical congruency that will welcome those to the fourth density. And I guess that means that there are people, beings, entities, already in the fourth density that, if we end up there, they're going to welcome us. And is there anything to expand on that?
Thank you. Many have similar ideas, and many have similar belief patterns. So there are others in the fourth entity that are welcoming. However, each entity has its own track, its own experience, which leads into the sum of the belief system that one has and leads into the makeup of one's matrix. So, for one to be identical to another is not exactly the way it is. Many contribute their own experience to the fourth density in their life and the fourth density. And from their own perspective, are able to welcome people from the third density into the fourth density. They, being in the fourth density by virtue of being the fourth density, has more awareness of life in the fourth density. Therefore, they are able to welcome one from the third density who has similar belief system into the fourth density and make open space for that person to grow and to be able to teach and to train and answer any questions that the person entering the fourth density may have.
I have a question that I'd like to tag on to Joshua's question. And it has to do with, there are people out there. You know, we've been talking about graduating to the fourth density, starting with Carla Luckert. But the truth is, everyone graduates to where they have positioned themselves. So many, many beings will skip the fourth density unless they would choose to go there to give support to people who they love who are ending up in the fourth density. If you can see how that works, there's a lot of free will choice on this. But the question is, there are a number of groups that are saying that the fourth density has essentially been taken over by the negative, and that people should be aiming for the fifth density, although I don't know if you can actually aim for something. But could you get some clarification on that idea?
The person, when they transition, go to the place where they need to be, although the fourth density does have some negative beings in it, it has not been taken over by the negative, and it is still a beautiful place to go, and there are beings there that are welcoming individuals coming there and are helping to integrate them, to train them, and then move them on to where they would ultimately like to go, and potentially to graduate or to move back to another reincarnation in the third density.
Thank you. From Robert Travers, the question is, and I'm just going to simplify his question, it's becoming pretty obvious to us that weather is changing. And some people attribute that to the shift the planet's on, and other people attribute it to interventions from negative groups. And the weather changes that are happening, in general, what could we say is the overriding cause of those changes?
Thank you. There are a number of groups who are attempting to change the weather. For instance, the Chinese attempted to have fair weather during the Olympics. There, the individuals who are seeking to change the weather are in different countries and changing it to their own life system. For instance, in one area in Europe, it was too hot. It felt, and so the weather changers changed it to be more cool. Then they brought in different influential people and pointed out the differences, and they used this to bring on board other officials who have power, who wish to also have, say, more rain in their district, or more sun or less sun, and they then get more and more people on board, and the overall pattern is a bit patchy, but whenever you put chemicals, aluminum, in the skies, then it is bound to affect the weather, because the nucleation of the particles attracts most moisture and hold it and then carry it to a different part of the country, say to back further east rather than so much in the west. So there is a definite change in weather that is being geologically engineered. This can also create tornadoes as the effects of the highs and lows can aggravate conditions and create anomalies which can generate tornadoes. It is not generally thought of or known by most people what is happening, and most people just consider it something inevitable, a change in the weather that is natural. Thank you.
Thank you. I have one more question. Can the Elohim change weather?
Yes. We can change weather. It is a co-creative process, and it is harder to do when there is artificially produced weather. However, the Elohim, when they change weather, it is not by taking over an area. It is by co-creating with the spirits, with the forces of nature in an area, and with the co-creative energies working together between the Elohim and the spirits involved, then if the spirits decide that they would like to have rain in the area, then it can be made. Or if the spirits or a storm system is willing to change its configuration through communication with the other team, then it changes it. Mm-hmm. There is a consciousness within tornadoes. There's a consciousness within storm systems, within hurricanes, that if the system is enough aware, that can be worked with. And in not in all cases, as there are some, such as the storm Sandy, which was driven, and behind it was more storm driving the first front forward. Behind that, there was more storm driving the next front forward, and it dumbed down the consciousness of that storm, had its own trajectory and its own goal, its own perceived path. Thank you.
Thank you. Were there any interventions from higher sources with all the rain that just happened in California?
There were interventions by the consciousness of the people and their connection with the rain pattern. Yes.
And their their prayers.
Yes.
For rain. Yes. Thank you. Okay, thank you. This is from Cruz Garcia Crustis. I don't have his. Oh, he lives in Cruz Martin Garcia Galvez. What a name! Hey, Cruz, from Fresno, California. And he would like to know what I am waiting for in life. Or is there something else I should be doing? Is my heart open enough for the next density? And how do I hone my own power? And I'm sorry, I know this is just one question.
There we go.
Thank you. The idea of waiting for something to happen puts power in someone else's court. To ask for something from outside of one to coincide with one's own desires and one's own purpose. You yourself, in waiting, are postponing, are putting on a shelf forward progress. We suggest starting out in areas in a very small manner, taking little baby steps, one little baby step in the direction which brings you closer to achievement, closer to what will fulfill you, and you yourself know the things that you feel are more fulfilling and the things you know are pointless waste of energy, but you feel nothing that happened and keeps you in the waiting game. Like, I will do this waiting for something, or I will see if this brings in something. But to change it around and create the thrust rather than wait for the thrust to create you. Thank you.
Thank you. Question from Deb Merrick in Omaha, Nebraska. In 2008, I saw a diamond-like circle of light about 150 feet off my balcony. It sat in the sky. As I watched it more closely, I could see colors of pink and blue and yellow dripping around it. It was so beautiful and eventually got smaller and smaller until it disappeared. I thought the circle of white light was meant for me, and even felt it was aware of me and possibly communicating with me. Can the Elohim tell me the purpose of this light? Was there a message given to me, or that I'm adding this? Was there a message I was supposed to derive from this?
There was a connection. There was a connection meant for you. We ask, we say that to be cautious in the connecting of external light in the sky with you, as it could be an attraction to you and a theme to not inoculate you, but to predisposition you for possible abduction scenario.
Thank you. And sometimes, could we ask the question? I mean, I know the answer, but I'll just ask the question. Could we say that in every case, abduction scenarios would be from service to self negative entities?
You are asking about thousands and thousands of cases there are cases where there have been abductions that have been a free gift to someone to heal a certain aspect of something that was going on with them. However, in general, it is from service to self beings who are wishing to, they have different agendas. So they are wishing to service their agenda. Perhaps it is taking a DNA, which will help heal some aspect of something that has gone wrong with their race. And although their service to self is that, they, on the other hand, are service to others towards their own race. So it is more complex than one might think.
Thank you. Margaret in, let me see here. She's in Margaret Highland in Auckland, New Zealand. Now, Margaret, you're asking about your guide. And I want to say that there has been a idea in a lot of New Age stuff about guides. And in general, when we ask these questions, guides are not necessarily higher sources. Although, because we get messages and we hear voices, we tend to give them that power. They may be no wiser than you. In fact, they may be less wiser than you. And yet, because of the phenomena, we give them power. And of course, we call them our guides because there's a paradigm that says guides are good, you know? So I'm going to ask your question. I don't know how they're going to answer it, but I just wanted to say that they may answer it in a way that you have been giving up your power to this guide. And I shouldn't say this. I don't want to program Terry. But that's all I'll say. Here's the question. 6:51, this will be our last question for the night. Since 2000, I have had a mission from my guide to email an American man to support him in his climb to his dreams and inform him of little things in his life I learned because they are conveyed to me in dreams and synchronistic signs via my guide. I, in turn, simply have emailed him daily for 14 years, but just recently I can't understand what my guide is showing me, and I have the feeling the whole interaction and any future mutual meeting I might have with this man has been canceled, or I have been released from it, at least. Is this the case? Has this mission ceased? And has my guide, who contacted me in sleep in 1999, left me permanently as a personal guide now and simply becomes available only in general as a petition or prayer? Does he still require me to continue to contact this American man? And will he still give me personal guidance and sleep, as I am very unwell and I live alone? He is a guide to many, many individuals. Okay? Thank you, no matter what. Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret. Mark. I ask you to ask your guide to give you a dream message that the messages about the future of the messages. We ask the guide to tell you if the mission is complete. We see that the guide has an intense interest in the welfare of the man, and that the guide is getting ready to move to a higher level. And therefore, the messages are coming less intently and with less import and intent. We see a moving of the guide to a higher frequency and then losing the direct contact with the messages for the man as the energy connection with the third density dissipates and new vestiges are seen by the guide.
Thank you. I assume that's the answer to the question.
Yes.
Okay. So let's take a final minute on this call. Let's shut our eyes and let's just move into our group energy and feel each other, feeling our sources, feeling the earth, and just embrace everything that can be embraced with this love light on our planet. And all those processes that are occurring, both negative and positive, that reinforce the positive and accentuate the positive, as the song says. We ask for moderation and interventions on Fukushima regarding radiation. We ask for earthquake control, moderation on any quake anywhere in the world that might go off. And on that note, 656, I thank you all so, so much for being here. I thank Terry, I thank Hive. I'd like to send the light. Let's take another moment. I didn't say this, but Gary Browning, who's been one of our volunteers for probably 3 or 4 years, helping us send emails out, is in the hospital, and he's responding to prayers for a very serious liver transplant. He was in a coma, and he came out of it, but he's still tentative. I'd like to send our love light of this group to Gary Brownlee at Ronald Reagan Hospital at UCLA. And on that note, we're going to say goodbye to everybody. And we'll see many of you on Sunday. And thank you so much for being part of what we're doing. And on that note, if I can figure it out, which I can't, I will unmute everyone. Can you unmute everybody and then stop the recording?
I got to mute.
Okay.
Thank you, Liv.
Happy Ash Wednesday.
Thank you.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Okay, good work, Wynn.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry. Terry, wonderful channeling. Thank you so much.
Wonderful thing to say, yeah.
Thank you. You know who it is, eh? Okay, well, Wynn, you were terrific.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Ash Wednesday.
As always.
Namaste.
Be well.
I don't think I'm ever terrific, Jim.
Well,
oh, you're a steamroller and you know it.
Well,
blessings to everyone from Sedona.
It's better to be a steamroller.
Jim, love to everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. Bless you.
Bless you.
We're all terrific.
It's better to be a steamroller than steam. That's what I always say.
That's true. Good night.
Thank you so much.
Night.
Good night.
Meow.
Meow. Meow.
Goodbye.